attitude's huge because it's something you wake up and that's your decision. Your attitude is what you wake up in the morning and you make your attitude. You're going to be in a bad mood, a middle mood, or a great mood every day you wake up. That's one thing that I have. There's nothing that I dwell on the night before or anything. Like, that's just a big thing that I talk to our kids. Like, when they wake up in the morning, attitude.
614 Headsets is proud to be sponsored by Fundraising University Ohio. Fundraising University Ohio offers a variety of fundraising efforts that helps football teams run profitable, effective, and fast-paced fundraisers designed to raise the most money in the shortest amount of time to reach their fundraising goals. Fundraising University Ohio is locally owned, operated, and with their six-step blitz system will help your team maximize profits. Brent Maxwell with Fundraising University will sit down and help you strategize and execute your fundraiser. If you're interested in us running a fundraiser for you, please contact Brent at the letter B, Maxwell at fundraisingU.net or 740-501-8946 to learn how you can get started with fundraising.
It's a good win. There's a lot of people. It's like Woodstock, except everybody's got their clothes on.
I'm gonna eat a damn snack.
You're like my wife when you get in space. You just get lost.
Shit! Short steps are better than long steps. That's the only time in your life you're gonna hear short is better than long.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 70. If it's your first time finding us, this is 614 Headsets. We say we are the spot where strategy meets story. We are three high school coaches from Columbus. That's why we're 614 Headsets, who are committed to bringing you both football content that's both entertaining and educational. So, boys, it's been a week off. I felt like we need it. We've been grinding this offseason so far with no breaks. How's everybody week been since last time we've talked?
We is a you and I thing, Kyle. The Donnie Mac got the best life. Let's just go back to it. This man comes home from work and he's never changed a diaper. He doesn't have to do no bath time. He don't got to take him to ninja class. He don't got to go to doctor's appointment. Life's been crazy because thankfully though, we got two healthy kids, but it's been wild. But I needed that week off last week, and I was texting Kyle a little bit about it, but I didn't text Donnie because he would have never understood. No. But
he'll find out soon enough. But you know what? It's good, though. Like, I don't think people don't understand. Like, you do this weekly. Every now and then, you need a week off because it keeps you going.
I don't want to pressure Donnie into having kids, but at the same time, I don't want him to act like his life's hard right now.
There is no more pressure that you could apply than his own mother applies. Trust me. His own Donnie, mom how has week? Closed Sorry, bot Donnie. And everything. Donnie, how are you doing?
Hi, Donnie.
Listen, the week was fantastic. I can't relate to either one of you yet, but I'm sure I'll be getting your advice whenever that day comes. A good week at work, you know what I'm saying? No diapers changed. No ninja classes. Maybe I'll sign up for those myself.
Which is great because the fact that you have all this time, I can't wait till I give you your portion of the playbook to transfer.
I saw the message today.
No excuses.
I saw the message today and I'm like, what? Stout, give me whatever you want. Like, yep. I'll take whatever.
Oh, yeah. It's going to happen. Just wait. We're going to meet here soon. It's going to happen.
At the end of the day, Donnie, we are proud of you.
Thank you.
No matter what. It's not that we're hating, but at the same time, we're proud of you. And we hope you do have kids soon so you can understand our pain. But me and Kyle have been texting this week.
Pain and pleasure.
These kids have been relentless.
Yeah. I got woke up last night every hour from 1 a.m. on. But I love my daughter. She's a great. But that's not why you're here. You're here to learn about football if you're catching on to us. So,
With a great episode.
Absolutely. This is a great episode. But I just want to let everybody know, please – hop on all the different socials, hop on whatever your favorite platform is, subscribe, leave us a rating, leave us a review. Those things help us grow and reach more people. I thought one of the coolest things was when I was at the Glazer Clinic this past weekend, when I got done talking, just hanging out around the elevator and different people who had actually listened to our podcast before, and they're like, keep it up, it's great. And I'm not saying it was everybody, but we're talking about a couple conversations, but it was super cool that like people from like outside of Columbus follow what we're doing and appreciate it, whether you've done it yet or not. Hey, give us a subscribe, give us a follow, doesn't cost you nothing. Help the brothers out. You know what I mean? Donnie, what are we getting into today?
We got a great conversation with Coach Keener out of Canal Winchester. Really just talking, it evolved from just straight culture and the goal setting process to his history with coaching when it came to setting goals, when it came to setting expectations, building a winning culture. So I think this is an episode that everybody's really going to enjoy. I know Coach Sayers has some background with him, but it was a really good 45-minute chunk of football and culture knowledge when it comes to building a program and maintaining a program.
And I tell you what, we need this next segment, right, Sayers? We've been in the trenches, baby. You and I both need this max effort locker rocker, something that's going to get the boys fired up to keep battling.
Rock me.
Hey. I don't know if that's the words. All right. Football coaches, listen. Rock me. That's not going to be how this segment continues, okay? Football coaches, listen up. You spend hours in the weight room and on the field pushing your athletes to be their absolute best. Are you fueling their bodies with the right supplements to maximize performance and recovery? Max Effort Muscle provides safe, trusted, and effective supplements designed specifically for athletes, trusted by Division I strength coaches and top college programs across the country. Their lineup includes everything your team needs to train harder, recover faster, and perform at their peak, from whey protein, amino recovery, creatine, and NDR hydrate.
Yeah. And listen, everybody knows football is won in the trenches. Don't let poor nutrition be the weak link in your program. Reach out to them today and get your team on Max Effort Muscle. They work with pretty much any team, regardless of size, any budget that you have. Visit maxeffortmuscle.com and email Tyler Treadway. His email is treadway@maxeffortmuscle.com to learn more about team pricing, partnerships, and get a custom package made just for your team.
Hey, I think we got to dispel the rumors, right? Like, you think Max Effort Muscle, you think team package, you're not even going to be able to afford it. The minimum's $250, man. Wait, like, until that is so small.
I'm going to be a live walking billboard of Max Effort Muscle because great thing you see this transformation of this body. Mm-hmm. By
that
Friday
protein powder
night.
Is nice.
And hey, Kyle, don't say I see your face right now. In August, when we get to August, when you see me on a Friday night looking rocked up in my polo, you're going to be like, I need some Max Effort.
The s'mores whey protein is just, it's great.
Here's but the hey, bad thing, Kyle, you're not taking the creatine. You're just taking the protein getting fat. You need to get
no creatine. I want the pre and the, yeah, I don't need the creatine.
No, you need the creatine.
I might. You're right. At this point, I probably do, but that's not what this.
Your wife said you need testosterone.
I probably do. You're right. I'm about the fringes here, boys. Hey, 37 next month. But hey, Donovan has the locker rocker. And in your words, he's going to rock us. Let's go, yeah. Donovan.
Hey, listen, despite the fact that Coach Stout asked me two or three times if this was original, which it is.
I had to ask.
The kind of phrase that I had for this week was, don't rely on luck, be mindful and purposeful with every action. I think this is for us as coaches, but for generally speaking in life too. I think oftentimes in life or in football, not that you sit there with the thought of like, all right, this is luck's going to be involved with this. It's not that thought. It's oftentimes I think in life and football, we think, okay, this is just going to work out. Like you got some feeling you think is going to happen. Like you think, oh, it's just going to work out one way or the other. And sometimes it does, and oftentimes it does, and you think it's kind of luck versus it doesn't. And I think that's where that line needs to be drawn of, okay, don't let your journey in football, in life, rely on like that some semblance of luck you think you have. Attack whatever your mission is. Like my big thing with my career outside of football is, okay, don't let this career journey that I have for work be determined by just like the random placement or luck. Do my best to put my mind towards what I want to do. I think even personally, and Stout, you can probably relate to this, but our first 2 years together at Gannon, we had some – I, as a coach, walked into a situation with just ultra-talented linemen walk in for year one as a coach, and a lot of that group returning, and a lot of it was just the self-made of, okay, this is what you walk into, this is what they get, and it rolls over, versus last year, we had some struggles and ups and downs, and I think some of that was my mindset of, like, okay, it's going to work out one way or another, and sometimes it didn't, and that was a big shift for me of, don't let – that process just roll into the table. Attack it with whatever purposeful actions you can come up with and whatever mindful actions you can come up with. So that's my message of football, life, career, however you want to take it. whatever fits in your journey the best.
Attack the day, man. I love
that. Just rocked us.
Yeah,
you got me rocked. Let's get in this episode. Let's go.
Excited for this episode, man. Episode 70 with Coach Keener, a guy I met early on in my career, like real early, obviously, being at Pick North with him for a second there and then being able to just be friends with him throughout it. Coach Keener, excited to have you on. I feel like you're like one of those guys no one hears about or hears from in Central Ohio. That's the funny thing. Everyone I've talked to, when I'm like, all right, we're getting Jake on, they're like, dang, no one's ever seen him on a podcast.
About right.
Talk about where you've been, Jake. Like, how did you get to this spot in Canal?
Just getting out of college. Obviously, I grew up in Pickerington. I graduated from Pickerington in 2003. It was the last time it was a single school. So just Pickerington, not Pickerington Central, not Pickerington North. When people say that kind of stuff, I'm from Pickerington. And I went to Pickerington Central just because of the school. But going into college, I played two sports. I played football for 3 years. And also was on the track team through the javelin and pole vaulted for Miami of Ohio. And then Ben Roethlisberger.
The javelin is the craziest thing.
Right.
He looks like a guy that threw it through somebody's chest. I'm being honest. Like, he just has that little itch to him where, like, wrong thing said, and that javelin's going through somebody's chest. I wouldn't trust him with one.
It's a while ago. But, yeah, my first year was last year with Ben Roethlisberger. He got us a MAC ring. Ended up, we were top 10 AP there. And then after graduation, ended up getting a job over at Whitehall. Greg Lahr called me up. They had a special education job open, and he got me on over there. So I spent 2 years over there with Coach Lahr. My first 8 years out of high school, I coached football, wrestling, and track. So I was on it, coaching three sports. Played three sports in high school at Pickerington. But I love sports, but I loved football. Football was by far my most favorite thing to do. If I was smart, I probably would have gone Division II or gone to a smaller school and just played for fucking 6 years if I could. Excuse my language. But, that didn't happen. Came out, and then one of my buddies was going through a rough time over at Pickerington. They asked me to come and be the DB coach, which I played DB in high school there under Jay Sherritt. Got a job with him. Jeff LaMonaco ended up being the D coordinator there. Now he's the head coach. Jeff taught me a lot of stuff about defense. Growing up, I was there for 2 years. Jay and I didn't really see eye to eye on a late night out and got let go from that job. I went back over to Whitehall with Coach Lahr. Then he ended up actually coming to Canal Winchester to be an assistant principal, and that opened up my first coaching job over at Whitehall. Ended up getting that. Was at Whitehall for probably 4 years as the head coach. We ended up winning the MSL for the first time since 1982. Then tried to get back home. Became a head wrestling coach at Pick North. Was the defense coordinator over at Pick North under Nate Hillerich when he first got in there. Obviously applied for that job. Didn't get that. Nate got it. Pretty much told Nate that I had 1 year before I would go out and go search for some things. 2017 year was a hell of a year. Jimmy Weirich, Ben Johnson, and a lot of the Alex Williams. We had some dudes on that team. Ended up
people making... forget Jimmy Weirich was an absolute dog.
Like, he was
like, you go back, if you've been around here and you've been coaching, and you go back and you remember that time and you watched him, it was like Johnny Manziel reincarnated at high school. Like, his tape and what he could do was it's crazy.
He had some guys there, man. We had Wiley, we had Carter, we had Gessel that ended up walking on at Ohio State. But that was a hell of a team. We had a great team. Nick Giardini at linebacker. We had some dudes. The Davis brothers were there too, Eli and Trey. But it was a great time. It was probably the first time in my life that I was able to be a defensive coordinator and just coach and call plays and call coverages and blitzes, and the guys would do it. It was a hell of a year. So we got done with that year. I ended up getting the job over at Watkins. Severino stepped down. I went out to Watkins in Pataskala for 4 years. Had some good times out there, obviously. We tried to get it going out there, and I don't know if it was the mix of my mentality. I took some things off of the tradition type thing, but I'm coming in And I don't care where I go. There's really not tradition if you're not successful winning, all that stuff. So there's got to be a little mix up of whatnot you're going to do. But I made some great friends out there, coached some great kids. It was a great place. I left right before they got that whole renovation out there, which that stadium's badass now. And then came out here to Canal for the last 4 years. So we've had some, my first year here was obviously, it was a tough year after COVID. I believe they were 5-5 in the season or in the year before with under Josh Stratton. And a lot of guys that thought they were going to move out and whatnot and go do something else. But I actually talked to almost every single coach that was interested to listen to me talk, got most of everybody. And we've built a hell of a staff over here.
Really good staff.
I love it.
Yeah. Let's get into pick six, man. I can't wait. I didn't know he was at Whitehall. I knew the Watkins. I knew the Pickerington background. And I obviously knew everything else past that. So I was interested. I had no idea. It's something I learned today about the Whitehall background. So
I didn't know you went to Miami. Love and honor. Another guest with another Miami era. What was that?
I saw your picture in the background, bud.
There you go. Bro. So nice. I was at the Glazier in Cincinnati, right? I heard their OC talk, Welsh. It literally is Don. I feel like Donnie wants to be him. I feel like Donnie, when he was trying to figure out who he was going to be as a coach, just pulled up recordings of how this guy talks, like F this, F that. Yes, you love this, my baby. Like I'm sitting in this session, right? I'm sitting in this session, and all I can think about is this is where Donovan found his coaching voice from him, right? Then Bruce and I are at the establishment winding down the evening, and the bartender goes, Gehanna Lincoln, we're in Cincinnati, right? He goes, do you know Donovan White? Right, like that was my roommate. Right, and I'm just like, wow. Feel sorry for you, but I the Miami, the everything, like enough, right?
Let's. Well, I hate dudes for people from Miami. They're just like a weird cult, dude. It's the weirdest thing.
There is a weird cult. Yeah, I'm with you.
Weirdest thing ever. Yeah. I don't know.
Here's the difference, guys. I was there when Heppner was there, right before he left for Indiana. Tavor Johnson was our D coordinator / linebacker coach. And then Narduzzi was our D coordinator on his way out. So we had some dudes there, man. Narduzzi was an absolute psycho. I loved the way the dude coached and everything. He was awesome.
Back in the day, he was juiced.
He looked like he was nuts, dude. And I talked to Manilak, who's up there with him, because I played with Manilak. I was a year older than him at Pickerington. And he's, man, he's still crazy. He's still doing that stuff. He's wearing his sweatsuit out at like practices. And the dude would pour sweat all over you, just in your ass, get in the middle of every fight that was going on. It was awesome.
That's so funny. Such a small world, too, though, with Manilak, because he coached me at ODU then. But let's get into this pick six segment. This is the best one of them all. This pick six segment is powered by Storied Rivals. Sports media, championships, friendships, and life lessons are among the most meaningful parts of the athletic competition. They are passionate about preserving them by offering the most unique highlight experience available.
That's right. And Story Rivals delivers your team's content with services designed to change the way you experience these unforgettable moments now and for a lifetime. Story Rivals now offers a complete team apparel and player shop customizable to your program. Contact them by email at info@storyrivals.com. It's a great time to reach out to them. I know a lot of coaches are playing out their combine. We used them for our combine apparel last year. Everything came out absolute fire. So reach out to Aaron and the boys. Get yourself looking good for them upcoming college showcases. Sayers, you got the first question.
Jake, you might not know about this segment here, right? We ask you just random questions that you have no clue what they are. For you, you're hilarious about this because I feel like I know what you're going to say. But if you could change one thing in high school football right now, what would you change?
Oh, man. What would I change?
In Ohio high school football.
Everybody says it. Eye black is an absolute joke. I cannot stand talking to kids and refs about it. That, and then obviously another thing that drives me absolutely nuts is when you get the officials that are like, hey, you can only be like 2 feet on the field. Like, the play is not going. I'm not coming out here to kill anybody. I just want to be loud enough to where my guys can hear me. So those are probably the biggest ones that drive me absolutely nuts. I hate those when we get to the first with the refs that they're like, "Hey, we're just 2 yards off the sideline." I'm like, "Why?"
I honestly thought, Jake, that you were going to talk about the transferring. And
Jesus. We don't – hey, listen. Well,
we don't want to get you into
that. Is that a rule? Wait a second. Hold on. Is that a rule anymore? I didn't know that was a rule, guys.
Other states, like, I thought it was interesting. So, like, when I was there, Indiana and some other states have just now just given kids a one-time whatever.
I don't know. I don't know if anybody from the OHSAA is going to watch this, but we're not checking anybody anyway, so who cares? At the end of the day, like, nobody gets checked. It's very few and far between, and it's if you get turned in and all that business. I don't know. I could go on for years. Transfer rule. The transfer rule. God, it drives me nuts.
You know, I will say
I'm for Pickerington.
Yeah.
No transferring out there,
guys. Come on.
There's a very unfair standard when it comes to the how close you're on the sideline. Like, some of these coaches, they could get away with anything, and there's other guys that toe touches past, and they're all over them. It can get ridiculous.
It depends what type of coach you are.
I think it depends on what coach you are, what league you're in.
I feel like for you yelling, if you're a loud, animated coach like myself, and I'm not even yelling at the officials, I'm yelling at my kids. They just feel weird about it, and they're like, get back. I've had a few, though, that are awesome. Yeah.
There's one in this conference that gets away with anything, and I'm not even going to say
what. Yeah.
So we'll just keep moving on.
Coach, I'll give you my first question. So random, but if you could only listen to one song for the rest of your life, what song is it going to be?
Oh, God.
Tough one.
It's probably something by Lil Uzi Vert or somebody like that.
I'd say either What It's Like or Wonderwall from Oasis. I could listen to those forever.
Oasis. I got this kid in class. She loves Oasis. She came in an Oasis shirt, and I was like, deja vu. I'm like, Oasis? She goes, yeah, I'm going to their concert. I'm like, oh, my God. I think I hear Oasis, and I just I remember, like, the senior slideshow going across the announcements. Today is
now, the right. When did you graduate, Stout?
I was 2007. So.
You guys are all pretty young. So
what do you mean, bro? We were in high school at the same time. Yeah, like, you graduated
4 years early. You say 07?
Because I graduated. You were talking about 2003 in high school. I was in high school. I was a sophomore. We ain't that far off, brother.
Hey, look, I'm pretty far off. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, that's who you are.
I graduated in 2014. That's a little different.
Yeah, I'm right there. And you said Oasis. I'm in there. I'm with you. We're in the same
world. I've never even heard an Oasis song. That's why I'm like, I can't even. I know.
We play it right now. We get hit with copyright, but we play it.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Right, I thought he was going to be like down with the sickness or something. I thought that's what he was going
to
say.
I never would have thought Oasis.
You're going to listen to it for the rest of your life, guys. It's easy going.
Sayers and I will have to look him up.
Yeah, we'll put that in the group chat tomorrow morning. Coach, favorite food or spot around Canal? A lot of people live there. I've got a few friends that live there and venture over there. What's your favorite spot?
Around Canal.
He lives at a local cantina.
My favorite actual bar, I would say, would have to be the Ugly Mug over there by Kingy's. But local cantina, we go there all the time. Not a big Shades guy, but I like Shades. They close at 10, though, so that's where they lose me.
Jake's a late night animal.
Homestead's pretty sweet, too, that new Homestead place.
Homestead's nice.
But, I'd go to a lot of places around here. They closed Grapevine, which wasn't a bad joint.
The Sweet Harmony. Have you been to Sweet Harmony?
Yeah, Sweet Harmony's cool.
They got good drinks in there.
It's a real hipster vibe, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I like it.
No free shout outs, man. They're not paying for ads on this podcast. We could have just lived with one. Go ahead. Let's get this next question. Yeah, it could have lived with one. I'm not giving everybody ads. Let's go. Yeah.
All right. Coach Keener, for you, this is why I asked this earlier in the show, and it'll make sense, is how old you were at Whitehall, a 29-year-old you, if you look back right now, and you were able to go back and just tell the 29-year-old Jake Keener something, one word of advice or something, what would you tell him?
One word of advice.
Not hire you and then you leave.
That's 29. Relax, Kyle. 29.
Probably the biggest thing, like, you know, I thought everything back then was you know, the effort that you're putting in and the time and all that. So I think the big thing that I'd like to go back and talk about is attitude and effort with the kids, not so much the myself and that stuff. We harped a little bit on just being relentless and tough and that kind of stuff, but it was attitude's huge because it's something you wake up and that's your decision. Your attitude is what you wake up in the morning and you make your attitude. You're going to be in a bad mood, a middle mood, or a great mood every day you wake up. That's one thing that I have. There's nothing that I dwell on the night before or anything. Like, that's just big thing that I talk to our kids. Like, when they wake up in the morning, attitude, their attitude is their decision. So
I like that.
Coach, my second question is still a little random. You have to pick between never watching TV again or never listening to music again. Which one are you doing?
Jesus.
Your wife wrote these again for you, didn't she?
No, the first one I came up with myself.
It'd probably be, it'd have to be fucking listening to music, never listen to music again.
I agree. I'm watching sports.
I'm watching football. I'm watching.
And so he's got to make sure his bets get through, man. he's not taking the football.
Still listen to the games. You can go on the radio. Yeah.
No, that's not. I know one wants to listen.
Same
to
the game. Though, but that's not the same. But that's another thing is, and even when I get home and everything's done for the day, that's like my zone out time. Like, I don't feel like talking to anybody. I don't feel like doing it. Like, my kids are go down my hour, my 8 to 9 hour is just, hey, I'm not saying a word. I just want to see what's going on up here.
It's okay. Communicate that.
And like tonight, Coach Keener texted me, hey, I got to get out by 9. I got to go watch this Wimbledon match. He put some money on Wimbledon tonight.
I got the last question. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received from a coach or about coaching?
Oh man, the best piece of advice. This kind of goes to the classroom as well. It's really hard, or it's not worth saving somebody that doesn't want to save themselves. I think that relates to the classroom and also being out of football field. There's a lot of you guys probably always had a kid that you put so much effort into and you never got that reciprocation from them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. So my first principal I ever worked for, he said, you can drag the horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. Yeah.
At the end of the day, with the horse with water thing, I'm dunking that horse. I'm grabbing that son of a bitch's head, and he's going to be sucking water at some point. He's got to breathe. But as for the kid that doesn't want to help themselves or save themselves, it's really hard to get them out of that zone. Obviously, there's some kids that need sports and need school and need to be here all the time, but there's other ones, man, that you can put all the effort in the world into them and you just don't get that reciprocation back. So,
Coach Keener, here's the thing, though. You got one bonus question for me. I got to give it to you here real quick. Do you show your students or your football players the video of you fighting in the UFC cage and knocking that dude out?
No,
they find it.
No, I swear they to God, they literally, we have, and that happens year to year with all these silly freshmen that come in. They're like, hey, is this you? I'm like, no, it's my brother. Like, it's my brother.
So, yeah, they find it for sure.
You know, hey, I looked at this video before. You see the views. Coach Keener's pulling that video up every year. It goes up 4 views a year, and that's because every quarter he shows his new class coming in.
He's giving extra credit out for comments and likes.
You're about to get 2 more views tonight, though, just so you know. Donnie and Coach Stack are going to watch.
Right, let's get into this. We need all the time in the world. Let's get into this.
All right.
All right, main topic for tonight is sustaining team success, really just setting expectations and goals and really everything that revolves around culture with your program. Of course, the main topic tonight is sponsored by First Down Playbook, First Down's leading playbook and play design software with over 35,000 professionally drawn editable team plays with notes and full playbook to start from. You'll be on your way to getting an edge over the competition. First Down Playbook could be your entire team manager system with the practice schedule, scripts, custom quarterback wristbands, and more. And if you use the code HEADSETS25, you get 15% off of the already most affordable option in today's game. You can also just mention our show, find it in our show notes, find it on Twitter, everywhere across our Twitter page, you'll be able to find it. Coach, going into this main topic, I think just looking at the beginning of your offseason, as you roll year to year after a season, what's your process for, it can be reevaluating a culture for a team. One way that we've looked at it, at least at Gahanna, what's a new way to reinvigorate with competition, just to refresh the program year to year. What's your process with that from that standpoint?
We get feedback from our players after season, usually our underclassmen, the guys that are going out. We will have conversations with our seniors. Hey, what'd you like best about what we did as a program, and kind of keep that stuff. But I think the biggest thing is looking at the guys you have coming back. Everybody, you want to say reload, not rebuild. We never want to rebuild. Nobody wants to rebuild. There are times where it's tough, and I thought we're going to have to rebuild pretty heavy this past year. But I think the biggest thing is getting that competition in the gym, whether that's tug of war, one-on-one, guys staying. Like we have a turf room in our weight room, and we get guys in the middle of the C-dub, and we let them, like, not sumo, but it's pretty much sumo, whoever gets thrown out, rolls, aces, any of that stuff. But anything, you know, team finishers, I think that's a big thing too, like having the guys in front of each other, given everything that they got. So our team finishers are like burnout sets of things, and everybody's hitting them. Everybody's on the same clock. I think the biggest thing is just looking at our players that we have coming back and what we need to hone in on. Like last year, our biggest thing was we came up with the word unite. We do come up with a new word each year, singling out those guys that need that extra push and that reminder, hey, whether it's being less selfish or that thing. But I think we get that word in place, and then the competition at least once or twice a week in the weight room. We go 3 days a week. Some people go four, but we're strictly 3 days because we want that day of rest and guys to come in fresh. Just getting them going in the weight room. I think weight room culture leads the way to the summer at the end of the day.
Coach, I was going to say, that was one of my questions I was going to bring up is, you talk about picking a word. How do you guys go about that? Do the coaches pick that word? Do the players pick the word? Or do you guys collaborate together with just seniors? Because I know for us, like at Northland, like we meet as coaches and come together and we think of what we need for the year. And then also now I go to the seniors and I take that with them and we want them to be a part of it. How do you go about that?
Yeah, correct. We've given it to the guys at times. Obviously, my first year coming in and not knowing many of these guys, and what I did at Watkins and a couple of other places, I think that big word coming in is you're committed to yourselves, each other, the program, and really the new guy coming in. So I love starting with committed when I first come into a program, because when you talk about commitment and spending time around each other, it's huge. It's a big deal. And the second one was discipline, because we had some crazy birds that were coming back after my first year on the team. We had a couple of flags and some stupid things that happened. We based discipline off of whether we're in practice or in games. Like, big thing about discipline was the penalties that we had my first year here, being disciplined during games. And even when we get past these words, we always go back to them. Some of the things that we're building on these words, the year before was believe, and that was the year that we had our best year ever here at Canal. Most wins in school history, went the farthest in the playoffs. But if these guys could believe, and we talked about believe, we talked about the word, what does it mean? Like, you can believe, like a lot of people think that they believe they're the best player out on the field. You're not going to believe you're the best player out on the field unless you're saying that out loud. And let's be honest, if they think that they're the best player out on the field, somebody's going to check them anyway within that. But them talking about it, saying it to somebody else, that kind of thing. And then this year was, we had a bunch of guys that were not selfish. They were me guys. They were more worried about how many touches am I getting? How many are we going to throw the ball all over the, that kind of stuff. And am I going to start or any of that stuff? But we just wanted to unite, because if we could come together this past year as a team, and we even talked as coaches, like we could have a 3-7 year, or we could go 7-3, 8-2, which we were right there. We dropped a game against Groveport that we probably shouldn't have, but sometimes we bring it to the players, especially if we're down to two words, and we bring it to our seniors. So if anybody's going to make a decision on that. It's the coaching staff and our seniors. And that's really how we make a lot of decisions around here. I'm not big into inviting kids into making decisions about the program and things like that all the time. We do, especially if we have a really good senior class, which we had 2 years ago.
Coach, I think it's a good time to ask, what do you think, what would you say are the expectations of your program or for players in your program?
We talk about three words every single day: attitude, effort, and toughness. So we literally harp these words every single day that we're out at practice. I don't care if it's a walkthrough. I don't care if it's we're going and banging hard. We harp those three words. And then obviously before game day, before we go out, I have a list of things up on a board. Hey, these are our expectations for this game. These are the things that are going to be different. And those get changed. But the attitude, effort, and toughness part, if you can give me that at the end of the day, let's be honest, all three of those things are what these kids can control. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what we look at. I'm not expecting you to go out and run a 4.2. I'm not expecting you to squat 500 pounds, bench 400. But as long as you're giving me those three things on a daily basis, you're going to become a better person, player, teammate. And it just all rolls into the things that we do with our kids.
Even if they're out there begging hard, huh?
Oh, God, yeah.
They control that. You control it. Yeah, absolutely. Has that changed, though, Coach? Like, we talked on here a second ago, and I think sometimes expectations change. You talked about when you first came in, I think you said the year before, Canal was like 5-5. Has the expectations or the way you communicated things changed from day one until now?
Yeah, my first year here, I was not pushing, okay, win the OCC kind of thing, make a regional. Those are our goals now. 2 years ago, obviously, we won the OCC. Last year in our new league, we got second. But even if we're right there, but the biggest thing is with these guys is, and I think kids, I think the more that you get this stuff, them thinking about this stuff, it's important to them. Especially if we're harping on it every single day. Now, I know practice, and everybody knows practice can get monotonous. It can be crazy. We won't get effort. Now, at times during practice, it's, and especially if it's earlier in the year, it's, hey, get your ass on the line. We're running because nobody's paying attention. Nobody's doing what we're asking you to do. Too much slapdicking going around. And I'd say that all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll jump on the line. Obviously, when I was at Whitehall, it was more of, hey, we're not screw running because we know we're not getting shit out of these guys. Get your asses home. Come back tomorrow. You know what I mean? So we kick them out of practice. There's a couple times even talking about Cam earlier. Like, I kick Cam out of practice every once in a while just so his little head wouldn't get big, and even though it's giant, but.
Every episode too. I can't wait till Cam hears that.
Yeah, but just stuff like that, and knowing, I guess, what you're going to get out of the kids. But we also later on the season we'll change up our practice to where we have a hit session for 10 minutes. 10 minutes, 1v1s. We're going. We're driving. Get your ass on the ball. And if we're not getting what we want, we're pulling them out and putting the next guy in. So it's, I don't know, it's a hit parade for our defense because they can just tee off on our dudes because it's full go. And we need those days that we come in and just start hitting the shit out of each other. And it does help for a better practice. Now, during those 10 minutes, now being a head coach, it's just I'm cringing my teeth because I don't want anybody to get hurt.
Yeah.
And depth matters. Depth really does matter. And getting somebody rolled up on something.
Dude, stupid. That's the worst part about being the head coach. I'm not even going to lie. It's like I used to, even when I was when I was an assistant, was like I used to dog Nate out and be like, bro, we don't hit enough. We don't do enough of this, that, and the other thing. And now I see myself like, hey, coach, can we slow that drill down a little bit now?
And I think it's definitely different. I will say it's way different for you, especially with the numbers that you have on your team.
Yeah.
If you've got 130 dudes, man, let's just smack. I know they can't handle that every day, but.
I don't know. There's some dudes that are too special to be putting in. I'm not going to lie.
Look at them. Them guys got special guys that can handle. Look at them. Little pretty boys.
There's a couple Ferraris that I'm not putting in that derby. Yeah, well, I'm not wasting it in that session because I know what they can do. They don't need to be in there.
And that's also a different jump. You look at Coach Sayers and our team to your guys' team. You do have those guys for the most part. Like our guys that our dudes.
We're teaching football every day. Like,
they just want to play. They're like, why are we not hitting? I was like, you're an idiot. Shut up. We're not hitting every damn day. Shut up. It'll be time to hit sometimes. And when you tell them, like, butt tackle, they're like, what the hell does that mean? The guys rolling up on each other and shit. I'm like, what are you guys doing? What the hell? Everything butt tackle. Everything but go to the ground. You moron. But
here's the thing that I find most interesting about Coach Keener. I know Coach Keener pretty well. I know Coach Keener real well, I would say. But other people in Central Ohio don't know Coach Keener that well. And it makes sense that how Canals had success, right? Like with his attitude, the way he approaches just everyday life and approaches the game. That's why they've had success. The one question that I like wanted to ask you is, you don't get to see Canal Winchester football on a lot of social media platforms. And we've talked about this before, just like between you and I, is what's your philosophy?
Today, I was making the images for this week. And I had to admit, I was making his overlay, and I was like, what's his Twitter handle? It's Jake Keener with 2 followers. Big social media guy. So continue.
Hey, listen. That's my favorite thing about Jake.
I don't even think that's me.
Yeah.
It might not be.
Jake Keener from Taze Valley, brother.
I don't know.
The best part about it is that, though,
they're no, so it's you. It's the same. It's the same picture as the email picture I got today.
Somebody created that.
Maybe. But he's got 2 followers, so let's go.
He's not.
Don't tweet Coach. He ain't going to answer.
I feel like for us, we got to – that's how we keep kids at times, is like posting them all the time, is like trying to keep up with those things. You've taken the opposite approach, I would say, even when I was like just around you talking about your coaching mottos, like a whole different approach. Talk about that.
Yeah. And the thing is, we don't have a lot of guys on our staff too, or that are, I'm not going to say Twitter savvy, because we have dudes that are getting junk on the other teams that go Twitter hunting all the time. But I don't know. We will put some stuff out there with our guys that are all league, but I don't really do a lot of that stuff. We'll send some stuff out on our page with our parents and that. We have Team App, obviously. We communicate a lot of stuff through that.
I'm not asking about your team communication.
No. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying that's what we do for our kids.
I don't care about the sub fundraiser coming up.
But we do a lot
pizza
of stuff
subs with $5.
We do a lot of stuff through just getting a hold of coaches. Like,
but how do you keep your kids? Is I guess my question more.
How do I keep my kids?
What do you say to them? Do they ever ask you, like, Coach Keener, why don't we do as much on social media? Does that ever come up in your engagements with them?
No, it's not.
That's interesting. I was always curious about that.
No, we don't. We don't do a lot of that stuff.
You guys do a great job of keeping your kids and keeping them.
We do a lot of promoting within. We send stuff out within the school, within our, obviously, parent apps and things like that. But sending it out to
big team.
And I do have to be better about. We got to be better about getting Twitter handles for all these kids with recruiting and things like that. I'll send their stuff out. And the kids are a part of that recruitment process too. So it's not me just uploading stuff and getting it going. Like, it's me communicating to those coaches, but they got to let me know. And this is what I do with my juniors and my seniors. And I'm like, hey, you guys got to let me know where you want to go. Pick 3, 4, whatever. But and then obviously those honest conversations that have to come by as well with some of those kids. They're like, I want to get this out to Ohio State.
There's going
to
be a lot of honest conversations. Yeah. Asking kids, where do you want to go?
Oh, yeah, there are. And I mean, that's something that I tell our kids too. Like, I'll be completely honest with them to where I think that they would be a great fit and could go play. I'm not going to bullshit them on. I'm not going to say, hey, man, you really need to start talking to Ohio State. I think that's a great idea. If you don't have the measurables to go to somewhere like that, or if they're not coming in to see you, especially being right down the road, that's a big thing.
Coach, I want to ask you this because I think we're all in the same boat a little bit. Like, Hannah's won a few championships, Sayers has, you have. And I think we all naturally, when you have a lot of success and you have the younger kids who grow up in it too, they just expect it. But like, how do you battle complacency or that settling in where kids have just gotten used to winning? Where we talk about, like, before, okay, you used to hunt, now you're the hunted, right? And how you kids get comfortable with being in a culture where all they've known is winning.
And between you and I, it's not like we've had that undefeated season. Even 2 years ago when we went 10-9-1 in the league, we were complacent when we lost the big walnut. Screwed you, Sayers.
Hey, I was muted. Screwed me. Absolutely.
He was mad.
Yeah.
As soon as he got that playoff draw, he was like,
I was done with Jake Keener. Right. I actually might have deleted Coach Keener's phone number out of my phone. I was done.
I just think it's the next thing. And I can tell when it's coming. Our coaches, we can tell when it's coming. We can tell when our kids are ready to go for a game, especially feeling them out for that pregame session before the game, before you even go out on the field and go stretch, before you get back into the locker room and do your pregame speech. You can feel where your kids' kind of minds are. Yeah, you guys agree with me on that? I can see the way my kids are acting. I can see the way that they're behaving, whether we're focused or we're unfocused. So
I feel it more at away games. I don't know if you agree with that, but away games, I know how we're going to start this game out.
Yeah. So
I think away games are better. You get your kids in the building faster. You're on the bus, you go. I like away games more.
And between you and I, I like away games too, because everything's bam. Once you get on that bus, everything's rolling and you're on a time clock and it's ready to go.
I hate home games.
And that's the biggest thing about home games, man. Getting these kids in here early, getting them back on time because they're, at home and they're like, hey, I know I have this much time off. You can ask our kids. If I see them bring in fried food into the locker room, if you want to piss me off on a game day, you bring some fried food in the locker room and start eating that shit before.
Our kids, they are eating team meal. Crazy. We feed team meal on Fridays. We're not letting our kids go home. I'm saying to my dudes to the seat and stuff because, God knows, I love my kids so much, but those dudes would be out there smoking weed, doing some crazy stuff out there.
I think it's like I can either ramp it up during our pregame speech, even if I know that we're flat when we go out and we start that first drive. It's something that I can go in and get after some people's asses to get them snapped out of it. Now, obviously, there are those games where you can't snap them out of it, especially if something bad happens right off the rip and they score a touchdown off the first damn play of the game, and you're like, Jesus, here we go. Strap in. Let's go. So,
Coach, I think this is it's a little bit of a change of a gear, but I think it fits into talking about being built to last and building, like, sustaining success. We're all pressed for time in season, right? But we all want to develop younger players. Is there anything that you do is unique, or like, how do you try to develop players maybe that you think you're going to need like later that season or next year?
That's a great question.
Our biggest thing is our coaching. This is part of our coach's handbook. We don't have excuses of why a kid's not ready. If they're not ready to go, it's the position coach. It's ultimately their fault. Now, is it my fault as a head coach too? Absolutely, if I have not addressed that. But we had a special player, great player, and I'm looking forward to him playing for the next 3 years for us as a freshman this year. We weaned him. We went from, hey, we're going to let him start off on. The dude had 12 touchdowns in 3 games at out of the freshman level. So we're like, all right, we're pulling him up. He's obviously going down there and destroying people. And then we've had him play two games down at JV, brought him up the following – or sorry, one game at JV, brought him up the following week against Pick Central. It didn't start, but he had some plays, looked pretty good. But and he's one of the first freshmen that we've actually brought up since I've been here. For some of the other kids, like, we're analyzing who those kids are. And I'm talking about him all the time with our freshman coaches too. Okay, what do you think about blah, blah? His attitude's got to get better. And these are discussions that we have after the season, during the season, with the players themselves, because we give our kids an opportunity to play up from freshman to varsity, obviously. If they're doing what they need to do, they'll be rewarded and coming up and dressing with the JV, and then vice versa. If I have a freshman that can dress varsity, he's going to play varsity. But again, there's that we're in the OCC. I have not seen a kid. Even you can look at Jack Sawyer. You can ask him his freshman year. I don't think he played until what, week 3 or 4. And 4, he might have been starting for us in 2017 as a freshman at Pick North. There's a come up, and as there needs to be. But Jack was a different. Let's be honest. He was a different human being specimen. And he had the strength, the speed, all that stuff. And that was like our guy this year as a freshman. But I just think it's really up to the coaches. We're not going to have excuses of why kids aren't ready and guys that can't come in and play. And that's one big thing that we do during our individual time with our kids. Like, we're working every kid, and my job is to make sure that we're getting the rotation of kids in practice. We only have so many reps and so much time during the season too. So that preseason is huge. Summer's huge, especially now that we have, for the most part, unrestricted days. But there's conversations that happen, and obviously guys that we already have our eye on, that we've already zoned in on, like, these guys could help us this year. And they're good. They're not ready yet, but they're going to be ready. So sorry for the experience there.
Coach, for you, do you guys have anything like between your players, like committees, like leadership councils or leadership committees, or even just different committees on your team? I know that different teams go that route. Or do you guys do leadership like meetings with the full team? Do you do anything like that to be able to make sure that those young guys are getting that?
Yeah. We've gotten into a situation during school. We call it a portrait of a graduate. We have activity periods now, which is really cool during the school day. So we split our football players up between the coaches that are here. We'll go over football stuff. We'll go over, hey, this is our schedule, that kind of stuff. We will come in here and watch film. We'll go over, hey, these are some ideas that we have that are coming up this year. So I wouldn't call it so much of a leadership committee, but it's a football time for our younger kids and up to our seniors that we have still here at school during that time. So it's in the middle of the day.
This guy's like Texas football. He's got a football period.
It's not bad.
It's out of control.
Yeah, it happens usually after the season. What's up?
He gets paid like he's down in Texas too. He got a new Dodge Ram. You should see the truck. He's telling me he can buy this house that's immaculate the other day.
Well, your father-in-law's house is too much.
Life is good. Coach, hey, man, we appreciate you coming on. It's been awesome to see what you've done at Canal, and we thought you'd be the perfect guy to come on and talk about team expectations and team culture. And who's week one in next year, 2025?
Our non-leaguers are Thomas Worthington, we start with, Hilliard Davidson, who had a pretty damn good squad last year, and then Worthington Kilborn.
All right, man. We wish you luck, man. Appreciate you coming on.
All right. Appreciate you guys having me. Again, not a podcast guy. I hope it was a good one.
Fire.
That was amazing.
All right, boys.
Appreciate it, Coach.